Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And coming up very soon, you're going to start hearing the familiar sound of the ringing of bells at different locations throughout town as the Salvation Army begins their bell ringing campaign. And to talk about that, and also just to talk about the Salvation Army in general, because it's a very, very interesting organization with a lot of ways that they help people. And yeah, I think you'll learn a lot from this segment. I know I will. Joining me for this segment is Leonida Schweigart. She is the Corps Administrator for the Salvation Army in Hancock. Leonida, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
All right. So you're with the Salvation Army in Hancock. You got the bell ringing program coming up. So let's start with just about your organization, who you are, and let's, you know, because everybody's familiar with the Salvation Army. But then if you try to ask them more than one or two questions, they probably don't know much more than that. And so I thought this is a great opportunity to talk about it.
Great. Well, Salvation Army has been around for 150 years. It was founded by William Booth, and it's an international company. We're around the world in 147 countries, and we serve the community by having different services. So our core, we call it a core. There's a lot of military terms with Salvation Army. Our core is a church. It is a community center, and we help the community by a food pantry, by giving rental and energy assistance, and we're developing new programs coming up in the next year. So like I said, we are a church, and so we have church services, we have Bible study, we have women's ministry, men's ministry. So there's a lot of things that people can do to help the community that way.
Does your church have statements of faith and other what you build your foundation on, and who would you be compare yourselves to, if anybody else?
If we would compare ourselves to a religion, I guess it would be Wesleyan.
Okay. And is there, who makes up a a Salvation Army church member?
Who? Anybody, really. Anybody in the community. We have some seniors. We have young adults. We have Finlandia and Michigan Tech students come. And we have families. So anybody can be there.
Okay.
We even have some homeless people come.
Is that particularly you open your doors for the homeless to come?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Were you raised in this?
I was not. Actually, my great-great-grandfather was a captain in Minnesota, but I didn't find that out until I joined Salvation Army in Racine. So, but I've been with Salvation Army volunteering and working for the past 2 years.
Salvation Army seems to go about things just slightly different. A lot of churches go to evangelize, bring people in and get them into their religion. Now, the Salvation Army, because we all know them from the things that you do, the approach is different. It's more about helping community first rather than changing people's beliefs.
I wouldn't say that. I think that we do go out to the community and help people understand who Christ is and that he died for our sins. So I wouldn't say that. I would say that we do go out to the community and evangelize and try to help people understand who Christ is.
Now, one of your major campaigns of the year is coming up. We were, like I said, we're all familiar with the bell ringers, and it's part of the holiday season, and if you don't hear those bell rings when you're out shopping, then it's like something's missing. It's become part of the atmosphere of the whole year, and it's kind of neat that your organization has become so ingrained into that it we think of it. People think of hearing bells at Christmas time. One of those bells that they would always say is, "Oh well, when the Salvation Army bell ringer is ringing that." So talk about the purpose of that campaign.
The purpose of that campaign is to raise funds for programs throughout the year. So the bell ringing campaign, the Red Kettle campaign, is our most important campaign of the year because we use those funds. 83 cents out of every dollar go toward programs in Salvation Army. And a lot of organizations, a lot of nonprofits and charities can't say that. So we're really proud that we can say 83 cents out of every dollar go toward programs. So that money then goes toward current programs and building new programs.
Now, are all the people that are ringing bells, are they church members?
Some are church members. We have a mix of volunteers through organizations like the Lions Club, the Rotary, that kind of thing. And then we do have some paid bell ringers because we don't have enough volunteers to fill all the spots every day.
Oh, do you need volunteers?
We do. We need volunteers to help us with bell ringing. We have 8 locations that we're doing right now, and we're going to be expanding that in the next couple of years. And our shifts are 2-hour shifts from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. And anybody can sign up. You just have to be, if you're 16 or younger, you have to have a parent or a guardian with you. Otherwise, you can come and ring bells. It's a lot of fun. We encourage people to dress up, to sing, to dance, to play musical instruments. It's just, it's a lot of fun.
I never knew that the shifts were only 2 hours, because I always, you know, 2 hours is a long time if you're standing out there and it's freezing cold. But I always wondered how long a person was standing out there, because I'd feel really bad for them.
Well, I think, too, they get a lot of sympathy money because they are standing out in the cold all that time. So, yeah.
Now, the money that is given, say, you know, if you're walking into a store in the Houghton area and you put money in the Red Kettle, where does that money end up? Does it stay local, or does it go to the organization as a whole?
It absolutely stays local. So it would be the Copper Country area.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's good. Good to know, too.
Yeah.
So how successful of a campaign is it?
I think it's very successful. In the last, I would say, 8 to 10 years, it has been declining in donations, but I think that people are maybe giving different ways to different organizations, which is fine. But I know that a lot of other organizations, their donations are declining also. So, you know, we're just having faith, and I know God will provide for us and our programs.
Well, not only does, you know, spare change become less and less in their pockets, but also a lot of people that are purchasing things electronically, they come out with less cash in their pocket. And I imagine that probably has created a trend, a different change in how things are collected.
You are so true. With the electronic age and people not carrying cash, it has made a difference in donations. But there are several ways of giving other than cash. We have Kettles Online that you can go to our website and donate that way. And you can also create your own kettle and have a contest with a family member or friend, and you can get donations through your own very own kettle. And if you don't live in this area, any donation will go by your zip code. So if you have friends in Arizona, Tennessee, those donations will go there.
Okay.
But it would still count toward your kettle.
Is that, would you mail it in, or can you do it online?
You can do it online or mail it in.
Okay. Now, you mentioned about having your own kettle. Talk about how that program would work.
Oh, it's so exciting. We have a program online on the internet that you can create your own kettle, put your name on it, and then people can come to that site and donate any way they can. And then, of course, then it goes to Salvation Army, of course. But it's a lot of fun to, a lot of companies do contests back and forth. Whoever gets the most donations, you know, gets a prize or something. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Is this the your biggest push of the year as far as fundraising?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What other avenues do you have for as far as raising money for the programs that you do?
Well, right now we're just depending on annual gifts and mail fundraising. We do plan on doing some fundraising this next year, having an awards banquet and such. So those are other avenues that we're doing up here in Hancock. Other areas do other ways of raising funds.
Now, as a church, then, do you also collect money from the congregation as they come in, part of the tithing?
Yes.
Okay, and that goes to fund programs, too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about those programs, because they, they're, full disclosure on is that there was a time in my life where we were really struggling, and the Salvation Army was there for us. And I will never forget that. So, you know, I don't, you know, if I have got a way to do so, I try not to pass a bell ringer without making sure I give something, because I remember those lean times that, this, you know, they were there for us, and it was big help, not just a token, you know, here's something for you. It was, you know, food based to get through the day. No, it was actually real help that, you know, very literally could have saved my family's life at the time. You know, it was important. And we don't forget.
Absolutely.
That. And I know that we are not alone to have experienced that, because of how many different people get help through the things that you do.
Yeah, I hear stories every day about that same type of situation where the kids had gone to the youth program when they grew up and they stayed out of trouble, or they were in trouble and then they came and participated in our character building programs and pretty much saved their life with straightening up. So, yeah, I hear that a lot.
And, then, you know, we do got a number of government programs that are meant to help you, you know, in short-term fixes and things, but it takes time to get those set up. If anybody who's listening to this have ever gone to the DHS and, you know, wanting to fill out the form, and they say, okay, we'll have an answer for you in a month, and you're like, well, we're hungry today. What do we do today? And they'll often direct people to the Salvation Army or to other places that have immediate food, because, you know, it takes a while to get those things even up and going in order to start, you know, helping your family.
Yeah.
And it didn't always used to be that way. I know a number of years ago, a couple of decades ago, I always had to kind of go back. You could get like instant vouchers when you went to the DHS, but now those things, they don't have them, at least not available around here. And so they send us to other places.
Yes, that's so true. We have a really great a network of organizations in this area that help each other. So we'll refer somebody to DHHS and they'll refer to us, Little Brothers. There's so many different organizations here that we're partnering with, and they're partnering with us, that we can help the customer or the client. And so that really makes a difference when organizations work together.
So talk about, because I've kind of interrupted you both times that I've asked, somebody needs help, they go to Salvation Army, what can you do?
Well, right now we have energy assistance, rental insurance assistance. We have the food pantry. We have youth character building programs. We're developing what's called a pencil ready program. The Houghton and Hancock school districts already have a program where after school they can get help with homework when they're not doing so well, but they have to pay for it. So we would like to develop a program where they can come to us, get tutoring from the Michigan Tech and Finlandia students, and they don't have to pay for it. Because I know a lot of families in this area qualify for that program but can't afford it. And so we would like to help that way. So we have that program. We have the character building. We have the Corps Cadets, Sunbeams, Rangers, Adventure Corps. And those are all youth programs that they can come and get badges, learn a lot, and go on summer jamborees in other states. And it's just a lot of fun, and it really helps the kids stay out of trouble and learn about God, learn about survival, and they're really great programs.
Are those Sunday morning programs, or do they happen throughout the week?
They happen throughout the week. You can call Salvation Army and we'll tell you all about the programs and when they are.
All right. You talked about the energy assistance. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that? Because is it the electricity that you can build up a pretty big bill over the winter and have a huge one due in the spring, but the gas will get shut off. Mm-hmm. So is it both that you help out with?
We do help with their main source of heating. So whether it be wood, whether it be electricity or gas, will help with their main source of heating. And we also do help with, I think, water bills. But once we're out of funds, then we source them out to other agencies that still have funds. Mm. So We just all help each other and help the clients. So. Mm-hmm.
And people would find, too, if you when you go to those other agencies, oftentimes they'll ask, well, have you tried the Salvation Army? You know, they'll again, as you were saying, people work together. They, you know, if you can't get help from one place, you know, they'll say, well, have you tried another place? And to try to make sure that you can get the help that you need.
Traditionally, we want the clients to stay with the organization that they've already gotten help with. We don't want them from hopping from organization to organization, getting double help. And so we always ask, what organization have you been helped with so far? And go with that, you know, so they don't get duplicate services.
Okay. For food, how does the food program work?
Well, the food program works. You can come in once a month, every 30 days, and get a 3 to 5 day supply of food. Now, this is not to give you food for the month. This is to help you supplement until you can get food, money for food. So we're not here to give you a month's supply of food. We're here to just supplement it so that you can get through the month.
How does somebody partake in that if they need it?
Well, they just need to bring a photo ID and information about their household, so we know how many family members are there, and then we can give them food that day.
Any idea how many people that you help during a year?
You know, I was just figuring that out for Bell Ringing Kettle Campaign flyer, and I really don't know off the top of my head. So I know we help a lot of people.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Now, where does the food all come from?
The food either comes from food drives. We just had the Houghton or Hancock High School Honor Society do a food drive for us this past week. We have Canathon. We have the Crop Walk that we just did in September. And we also, when the food drives don't supply us enough of one thing or two things, we get it from the food bank.
Now, again, I guess talking about the people that come to your church and actually participate in the church and come to the worship services, do you find, you know, with people that come, I guess, seeking, you know, to fill that hole in their lives, they find it at the Salvation Army's church because of the things that you do, and it's more than just coming to learn and to worship, but they enjoy knowing that you're doing so much to help people?
Absolutely. I think every church has community service that they do for their church members or for the community. But I think with Salvation Army, there are so many things that you can help with if you're an expert on, say, doing resumes or doing interviews, teaching someone financial independence. We can use all those skills for our Pathway of Hope program. Pathway of Hope is a Salvation Army program that helps clients who have been in this rut of getting assistance for a long period of time to get them out of that loop. And so we use a lot of our congregation, our board members, people in the community, other resources to help these people get back on their feet, get a job, and get the education they need. And, you know, every person is different, so every need is different. And so we use the congregation, we use the board members, we use the community to help these people.
How many Salvation Army churches are there in the Copper Country?
The one in Hancock, and then there are some in Ishpeming, Marquette. I'm new in the area, so okay. I'm not.
But when we're talking about Keweenaw and Baraga counties and Houghton County, the one in Hancock is the sort of the congregating point.
Yeah, that's pretty much the one for the UP.
Okay. Now, how big is it? How many people?
On an average day, depending on college students, I would say it's a smaller congregation, 25 to 30 people.
And then and 25 to 30 people, plus the volunteers that join, responsible for so much of this work that you
yes.
do.
That is
commendable.
Yes. It's, you know, without volunteers, we couldn't do our programs. Hmm. So, yeah.
if somebody wants to learn more, take part, maybe volunteer for bell ringing or for another program that you might need help with, how do they do that?
Well, they can call Salvation Army or stop by. The number is 482-3420. And they can stop by and we can talk to them, see what their strengths are, see what they're interested in helping us with. They fill out a background check and a volunteer application. We send it through headquarters, and once we get an okay, then they can start volunteering.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Now, beyond the holiday season going into next year, do you have any plans for, you know, that the church has plans or other things you'll be involved in?
Yes, we do. Along with the Pencil Ready program that we're working on, we're also working on a hot meal program where anybody in the community who needs a hot meal can come and get it. There's no questions. There's no income requirement. There's no nothing. You just come and get a hot meal. So we'll be starting that most likely in January after the busy kettle season. And then we're also researching doing a homeless shelter. And because I know that need is great here in this community. And so we're looking into finding a building that someone can donate. We're looking for contractors that will donate their time and supplies to help us get it up to code. And then, of course, volunteers to help us run it. So it's a long process, but we're looking into it.
Well, definitely keep me informed on how that goes, because it is a need here. We have the invisible homeless.
Yes.
In that it's so easy to say, well, I don't see any homeless people here. You know, you can look down an alley in Houghton and Hancock and you don't see cardboard boxes and you feel pretty good about yourself knowing that there's no one here that without a home. But yet we have an unfortunately large homeless population here that do exist and that do have, you know, if you look for them, they're here. They have communities set up, whether it's a tent community or different places living. You wonder who lives in some of these homes that shouldn't have anybody living in them at all. You'll find, you know, the people that are in need in this area.
Yes, absolutely. There are. And, you know, occasionally we'll have a client come in and want to get a bus ticket to go somewhere else during the winter and then come back during the summer. Here. So, you know, sometimes we can accommodate them that way. But yes, there is a larger population of homeless here. And you know, with all the resources and all the community support, I think we can get that going.
And the other kind of homeless is, you know, you have the sort of traditional sleeping outside. People are familiar with that image. But those who bounce from place to stay to place to stay, because they have no place to call their own. And so, hey, can I stay with you for a couple of days? And oftentimes these are people with children. And so they're not sleeping on the streets, but they don't have a place to call home. They're staying at wherever they can stay for as long as they can and then having to move on, but without ever having a place to call their own.
That is so true. There is a Barbara Kettle Gerlach.
Gunlock Shelter Home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Shelter Home that help women with children. In that, but they are getting so many people that they have to turn people away. And so that's another part of our homeless shelter that we're wanting to take up the slack. What they can't provide services for, then we can also, they can refer them to us and we can help those people too. So it's not just the single men and it's not just the those men in the area, but it's also families. You know, it's also women with children that find themselves, you know, without a home. And, you know, that's so important for the client and the child not to grow up in that homeless environment because it's so devastating for the child that they most likely will not have a chance of becoming a regular citizen growing up in that environment. So, yeah.
My guest this segment is Leonida Schweigart. She is the Corps Administrator for the Salvation Army in Hancock. Leonida, with your Red Kettle campaign beginning on Monday, it's not too late to volunteer, you said?
It is not too late to volunteer. Please call us at 482-3420. and we'll get you in for a two-hour or four-hour slot, and you can help us a great deal.
If you try it one time and you don't like it, can you just do it the one time?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.